Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Wittentown.
It would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Everything that you can get at the restaurant, it's available right there for you to be shipped right to your door, and you can enjoy a delicious cup of Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Simply put, if you need to get customers in the front door of your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a plan in place to help you do exactly that. They can set up a great mailing program for you. They can create custom graphics, custom signage in and outside your building. Whatever it takes to get people in the door, Pitt Printing and Signs has a solution for you. And best of all, if you're a Mississippi State fan and you give your business to Pitt Printing and Signs, they're going to turn you into a Bulldog Initiative business. 10% of your sale with them goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your business's name. You can't beat that. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. And let them know that you heard about them on Thunder and Lightning. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are looking for it. You're looking for new stuff. You are looking to have a new look for Mississippi State for games this fall. The banner M out, the state script in. It's time to change with the times, and you can do that with a quick trip to College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, the place to go for the best meal in town, for lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch. It's always at Restaurant Tyler. Father's Day coming up this weekend. Maybe other dads are like me. They're like, brunch is maybe you're not a real brunchy kind of dad. I get that. In that case, tell the family, hey, take me out Saturday night. Let's go to Restaurant Tyler. Let's get a big steak. Let me get a stuffed pancake, and everybody will be happy with that. I'm just telling you that's speaking as a dad, I would be totally okay with that scenario for Father's Day. So treat dad right. Treat him this weekend to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you all of the locations. They can pick one that's close to you, close to your home. And when I say close to home, I mean, that's what we're talking about here, a bank that provides the service you expect from your small community banks, but they can do a lot more for your money than those small community banks. It's not just a checking and savings account situation there at Priority One. Everyone, everything you need to do to manage and grow your money, Priority One Bank can offer that to you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, when it comes to social media, I am not the biggest Instagram guy. All right, I like Twitter. I'll do Facebook. I dabble in TikTok. I'm not a Snapchatter. Instagram is one I'm on there, but I don't do a whole lot with it. So when somebody says, "Oh, did you see this on Instagram?" Chances are I didn't. So I'm thankful to the folks over on the Maroon and White Daily Board today who pointed out the Instagram story of Mississippi State. I believe he is director of speed and performance, Jaworski Beckham, who basically had a video in his Instagram story that shows a mock-up or a design for a Mississippi State indoor football practice facility. This has been a hot button topic on message boards, on social media for basically since the Palmero Center opened. And it appears like Mississippi State is finally making some steps to give themselves a facility that basically everybody else in Power 5 football has at least some version of. I've always been a guy that, you know, maybe I'm just old school. And I'm just like, you know, you play outdoors. I mean, if State plays a game indoors this year, it's because they made the SEC championship game. But yeah. I get the arms race, and I get that it's something that, you know, coaches want and probably need. In this day and age of NIL and trying to funnel money towards the collectives, it's interesting to see money getting spent on facilities, but it feels like this is money well spent to me.
Yeah, this is a long time coming with Mississippi State's football only IPF, which I don't know when this is going to happen or what, but this is obviously something that has been designed to this point. This is too intricate. This is a professional design that Jaworski Beckham put on his Instagram, and I don't know if he's going to get a push from somebody to delete this. I would keep it out. It looks pretty awesome to me. I mean, that's something that's going to get people excited. But it's kind of exactly what we've talked about over the last few years of what Mississippi State probably needs to do if they do the IPF. It's connected to the SIL building, it appears. Overlooking, you know, you can walk out on the balcony of Jeff Lebby's office and you can overlook the practice field. It's basically connected to the weight room. It was the easiest thing for Mississippi State to do, to put it right on top of that turf field. So that's what it appears to be. And I can't imagine I'm sure it's going to cost, you know, what it's supposed to cost, but I don't think it's going to break Mississippi State to do this. You already have a practice field right there. You already have your weight room. You already have a facility. You just kind of connect it with the building or whatever, an indoor building. So I don't think it's going to be anything that's going to be a, you know, massive project for Mississippi State. It's just something that they've needed for a long time, and it's going to be, I think, really, really good for this program. And you can also continue to push forward with your in-house NIL stuff that's probably coming down the pipe. I think that you can do both here. You can increase your facilities worth and also continue to kind of push forward in the NIL sector. So, I mean, this should move forward soon. They should go through with this. And I imagine they are. It looks like, judging by the, you know, the pictures and everything, mm-hmm. It looks like it's sitting on like an easel or something. So I'm guessing this is in the facilities, that it's up in the facilities somewhere, mm-hmm. where they're advertising this, probably to recruits and stuff. So I'm not sure why this isn't public at this point, but if I was Mississippi State, I would go ahead and start publicizing it if you have all your checks and balances done.
Yeah, I would already have a video out that, you know, showing off the future here at Mississippi State. Yeah, and not only is this, you're talking about putting a roof out there and putting together a indoor facility, but as you mentioned, you know, a complete overhaul of the weight room, a new players lounge or you know, an area for the players, and then that's connected to the facility, the practice field facility. And I mean, again, this feels like, you know, you're talking about renovations for the most part, except for the building of, you know, a roof and that area over the practice field.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't strike me. I mean, it'll be expensive, like you said. There's going to be, you know, there'll be more than one comma probably in the price. But a renovation of the already existing weight room, when you have a state of the art practice facility like State does in the SEAL building, or football facility, I guess I should say. That just feels like you're sort of killing two birds with one stone. You're making a smart decision, but you're also making a fiscally responsible one.
Yeah, because like I said, you already have the weight room, you already have the actual facility. You're not having to build a totally new facility here. You're just basically building a building around a turf field that's connected to the SIL building. So I don't think this is going to be something that's just going to absolutely destroy Mississippi State financially. Is going to be very beneficial for them. And like I said, it's a long time coming, because while they do have an indoor practice facility in the Palmero Center, you're basically sharing that with baseball.
Yeah, they have one, but not really, Robbie.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's an indoor practice facility. It's a football field inside. So, yeah. I mean, it's doing what it needs to do. But you're also having to share it with baseball in certain times during the year. You never really know when you're going to have to. And, you know, if that was a baseball only thing, it's one of the best in the country. Mm. But for football, it's a little outdated. It needs, you know, you need your own thing in football. And I think this has been something that's been needed at Mississippi State for a long time. And, you know, the past administration, I don't think, was just really high on it. Yeah. And I don't think that Mike Leach was really high on it either.
No.
So, you know, this is something that will kind of push Mississippi State forward, upgrade your facilities, give you exactly what you need for your players, and it's going to be a good selling point, too, for recruits.
Why do you feel like there's been such a pushback against this idea over the last basically two decades of – you've had a lot of, there are a lot of people connected to Mississippi State and Mississippi State fans and people who've worked at Mississippi State who've given you the idea like, they don't really need that. When I don't know, and maybe need isn't the right word, but like, but the idea that Mississippi State was the only team in the conference to not have one always struck me as odd.
Well, I think Georgia didn't have one for.
I know Florida didn't have one for a long time, but they have one now. Georgia, I think, has always had one. I could be wrong.
No, I don't think so. I think they might have just had one.
Let me look that up. You go ahead, though. I'm sure you're right, but let's just
– I just think that it was the fact that they already had the Palmero Center, and I think that was kind of a crutch for them. You know, we do have a space for football to go inside if they need to go inside, and it just didn't seem like a priority. You'd built the SEAL club or SEAL building, and you had an indoor facility already. They just didn't feel like it was worth spending that kind of money when you already had something in place. That's what I took away from it. You know, and Palmero Center's been around since – how long is it? Was it around when Kroom was here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like 2005?
It was around – I think Jackie was here.
No.
Am I wrong?
Surely not.
Because, I mean, it would have been early in the Polk in the second Polk tenure.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly when that was.
Let's see here. Let's see if I can find it. Georgia's came into being in 2018.
And I think they might have been the last one without an indoor practice facility.
It looks like you're right. 2006 is what I'm seeing here. So,
So
the Palmero Center, $3.8 million, right? Mm-hmm. Georgia's facility that they opened in 2018, $80
million. Yeah. Yeah, I imagine states would probably – I mean, and you probably had a lot of other things involved with that too. They probably had a new building or something built. I imagine the state's probably going to be, you know, over 10 mil for sure, I would think. Just the structure of it all. I mean, I got to think. I don't really know the cost of everything now, but I still imagine it's going to be several million dollars to build that. And you're going to have to build it in some form or fashion where it connects well with the SEAL building and things like that. So I just don't think it's going to be like a, you know, $80 million $50-60 million project.
Yeah, it doesn't appear like that now. So, in this NIL era, Robbie, where does Mississippi State, like, if I said, all right, you can't just go knock down Davis Wade Stadium and start over, right? You can't spend $200 million. What are two or three projects that you would have an eye on over the next 1, 2, maybe even 5 years that Mississippi State can do that won't cost, you know, a boatload? And won't, you know, strain your fans in this era where you're also asking them to pay for the roster?
Well, if you're thinking about that, I don't think that end zone project is going to be feasible for you.
I agree.
Like right away, that might be something 5 to 8 years down the road that you can think about.
That's a project that's after NIL comes under the university.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely increase the value of coming to a football game. So for me, again, I still think that LED lights and speaker system is a priority for Mississippi State. I think that's got to be done.
And that's on the list.
Yeah, it is. But that's probably number one, is because those things are, while they'll be a little expensive, it's totally manageable, and it's a must at this point, just for the whole aspect of you're trying to make it more appealing to come to football games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's entertaining fans. That's making sure they're having a great fan experience. That's got to be fixed. I think eventually this was in the plans for a little bit. I don't know if it's changed with the new administration, but you're going to need to put some chair backs, I think, in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, you're probably going to lose some seating with that, which is, in this day and age, I think totally fine. If you lost 5,000, 8,000 seats in Davis Wade Stadium, I don't think that's going to hurt you, because I don't know if how many more games we're going to see of 60,000 Mississippi State fans.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen unless Mississippi State is competing for the playoff every year. So what you're trying to do is make it more appealing for fans to come to football games, chairback seating, LED lights, fixing the sound system, fixing the experience around Davis Wade Stadium. I think that's the most pressing matters that are at hand for Mississippi State. And I know people are wanting that south end zone fixed up and things like that. I think there's some temporary things that you could probably do there. But I just don't foresee like bowling it in or anything.
I
don't know if that's feasible right now financially. I think there's more things that are important to you right now from a Davis Wade Stadium campus kind of deal, and then also NIL coming up.
One thing I do wonder with the stadium is I think about the backs of the scoreboards and the big banner M on the side of the on the west side. Do you just have to sort of shrug your shoulders and go, you know, we'd like to take those down as part of a rebranding, but that's just a cosmetic cost we're not willing to pay right now. And, you know, maybe down the road we could look at it. That's something that has crossed my mind.
Well, and that's the thing. Whenever you talk about rebranding or whatever, that's going to cost money. State's rebranded kind of to – I think they're phasing out the banner. And I think that's kind of moving across campus too. We're seeing a lot of State script on campus too. But there's a lot of things that have got to be changed to kind of rebrand.
Yeah.
Vans across – buses across campus.
Yeah.
Stadiums.
I just think they just do two logos, Robbie. I think they say, like, the banner M can stay and all that stuff can stay as part of the university. But for athletics, we're just going to say no. That's we're not going to the banner M. I think that's the only way to do it, because what you're saying, I mean, think about the water tower, just getting up and repainting that, how much effort that's going to take, just stuff like
that. I think all that's going to take, it's going to take several years. I just like, and people are going to get mad. Like, why is this banner M stuff up? Like, don't think it's possible to just completely wipe that off of Mississippi State's history.
Right.
It's just going to take a while. Yeah. Now the side of the stadium, I don't know how much that thing costs up there, but I'd slap a interlocking on the side of the stadium. And if it was me, the football would be interlocking only.
Mm-hmm.
I would have interlocking.
I agree.
On the helmet. I just don't think that's
going to
happen.
We both also agree that's not going to happen.
Right. So I don't know what you do there. Does a State script look good right there? I mean, I don't know. But I do think, like, the back of the Jumbotron needs that banner, that word mark, Mississippi State word mark. I'd like to see that gone away. And then the other one doesn't even have anything on the back on the back of it. So the north end zone, that's two other things that, I mean, it's just like, this stuff
that's
is just,
that
you don't
Scott
think
Strickland
about.
Used to talk about, too. It's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do something with that very soon. And it's 9 years later and it's not done.
Nothing done.
Anyway, I'm trying to think, is there any other project? Like, I mean, the hump just got a facelift. Not really a lot you want to do there. Obviously, I'm not gonna sink any money into baseball at this time. Softball is getting, you know, some new stuff that was much needed there. You know, a lot of people, I think, go overboard with their, we should only give money to football. You got to take care of your other athletes. You know, otherwise, you're going to be looking at a Title IX suit right in the face if you do that. Tennis just got a little bit of an upgrade, so you're good there. So, yeah, but that's the thing about State right now, is they need some cosmetic things all over the place. And this IPF is something that I think that they did need. But unless you're going to put together a big capital campaign and spend $100 million, there's not a lot you can do at Davis Wade, but there are some small things you can do there that can get going. So I also will be going back to the beginning of this. I will be interested if that Instagram post is still up in another hour or two from where we are. By the time this show airs, will it still be up? I don't know.
Yeah, because people read these message boards.
The fact that
on
it's
campus, like,
it's been
they
up
know
like
about
two or three
it
hours
I
now. I think if it was going to go, it might have gone.
Well, my whole thing about it is, like I said, it appears that this is up in the seal. I'm guessing it's up in the seal.
Yeah. Well, it could be.
Why would you advertise that? We have all these camps coming in. All these guys are coming in and probably taking pictures of the facilities and stuff. I don't think that you're advertising that in the building if you don't have expectations that some way, somehow, it's going to get out.
Presentation, though. It could have just been, hey,
it could have. It could have.
That, like, hey, we have this, and then Jaworski just takes the video and goes from there. So, but the fact that
it's
been
that
like 3 hours. It's been like, yeah, I think we're good. I think we're good. So we'll see. Interesting stuff. I like the look of it. And Zach Selman, let's talk a little bit about this. I feel like Zach Selman, some people have come out and said, like, you know, we hear some stuff behind the scenes like, I don't know about that guy. But then
I was just about to say something about this, by the way.
Yeah. It's like, but at the same time, he keeps making moves that make a lot of sense to Brian Haydad, at least. I feel like, you know, and again, maybe we're kind of back where we were under Greg Byrne. And one of the things I always said about Byrne was he got a ton of credit for doing stuff that a normal athletic director would do. Because he followed a guy who didn't do anything a normal athletic director would do. So maybe it's just that following Cohen is just an easy act for Zach Selman to follow. But my goodness, we're a year and a half, maybe almost two years in now to Zach Selman's tenure. And I feel like he's got things going in a pretty good direction for Mississippi State. The results haven't been really great out on the field. You know, football was struggled last year, but I mean, he didn't have any part of the decision to hire Arnett. Lamonis this year, I mean, I could take it or leave it, whatever decision he makes there. You know, Purcell's took us a little bit of a step back. Jan's kind of treaded water. So you're not seeing like the big results on the field just yet. But I feel like as an athletic department that they're in a really good spot right now.
I mean, it's kind of hard to look at it. I mean, we've, like you said, we've heard a lot of people say, like, we've heard things or, you know, it doesn't look good on it. Like, what evidence do we have from just a pure production standpoint as an AD? What evidence do we have that he's not doing a good job is my question.
Yeah.
I think that you can, like, argue like he hasn't really proven himself at this point, or maybe, you know, there's still some things, you know, left out there that we have to study to see, you know, where he stacks up. But just from a standpoint of he's not doing a good job, I don't know what evidence we have that at this point.
I think it's just some people, I don't want to say they got comfortable, but maybe the way Zach Selman does things is the way big time athletic departments do things.
Well, here's the thing:
we didn't have any experience with that.
I'll say this in general.
Okay.
A lot of people, and I'm not saying this is the case here, but it could be. A lot of people that are used to things being done a certain way get really uncomfortable when they're done differently, and it's out of their element, or it's out of what they are used to. And there are a lot of people that have been at Mississippi State for a long time that have done things a certain way. And we've talked about this before, that have basically said, Mississippi State can't do this. Mississippi State hasn't done this. And I think that he has different opinions on that. He comes from a bigger athletic department. Mm-hmm. He's learned under some of the best ADs in the country. And he may be a failure. I don't know, but at this point, we have no evidence that he is. He's done nothing that I say, you know what? I don't think that was a good idea. I don't think Mississippi State is in a good spot right now. The jury's kind of still out for me personally. I still think we haven't seen Jeff Lebby coach a game yet. And that's basically the only hire he's made from a coaching standpoint is Jeff Lebby from that kind of stage. So that I'm still waiting to see on that and how that hire works out. But from the moves that we've seen so far, the logo change, the hiring of a lot of people within the athletic department for positions that have never, you know, existed at Mississippi State.
Right.
I like that. They're expanding the department. They're working a little more like a big-time athletic department. There's still a lot of things that I would like to see done at Mississippi State, but from the, you know, preparing for NIL to trying to get facilities kind of up to par and things like that, I mean, I just don't have a lot of complaints about Selman right now.
No.
We reserve the right to come back and complain.
That's right. When we get new information, we change our minds.
Yes, but as of right now,
this show,
and we're not just having Zach Selman's back because he's a state script guy, but it does play into the.
I mean, talked to that guy in months. He's abandoned us here on Thunder and Lightning. We need to get him.
He got a little too. He's got too big for his britches. He forgot where he came from.
We need to get him on here again, and we'll have to, you know. We gave you some compliments, Zach, but.
He kicked off the catfish tour for us last year.
That's right. That's right. So maybe he's going to be mad that we didn't invite him back. He may just show up. He may crash it, right, Robbie? He might come in there with a steel chair.
Did he even eat catfish last year?
He did. He had some, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think he might have been on a diet or something.
In fairness, this time around, I found out he's at a convention this week, so he was not even going to be in Starbucks. So
yeah,
that's why
we'll see it. Well, I want to watch Chris Jans eat a piece of catfish.
You know, and be like, you take a bite of that. See if Lebby has a camp that day. That's why he couldn't come.
And, now he would have been down.
That's what he would have housed some catfish with us.
Oh yeah, yeah.
There you go. All right, let's move into our SEC preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council. We want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It's grilling season. We're in the summer now, guys. You should be grilling out as much as you can. But, you know, the great thing about a steak is you fire up the grill, and we're only talking about maybe, you know, it in some cases, depending on how you like your steak, it might take more time to get the coals hot than it takes to get the steak cooked. And if you've got a gas grill, I mean, that's certainly no problem. That way you taste the meat, not the heat.
Are you a medium guy or are you medium rare?
Medium rare.
Okay.
Yeah. Steak should take about five, six minutes to cook. If you got a good hot fire for me.
Yeah.
That's
a couple minutes on each side.
Yeah. And then maybe just pull it off to the cool zone. Just let it sit there for a couple minutes and then pull it off. You should be good.
Agree. I don't want to have to chew my steak like I do my gum.
I always say the steak's dead when you buy it. You don't have to kill it.
Yeah. You don't have to kill it twice.
Yeah, it's good. When we were in Omaha, somebody tweeted at me about like, that steak looks like it's still mooing. And I was like, well, I wish it was. You know, the old, you ever watch that movie, The Cowboy Way?
Uh-uh.
It's Woody Harrelson and Kiefer Sutherland. They're a couple of cowboys who have to come to New York to solve a crime. It's very, very formulaic. But there's a scene where they go to this fancy steakhouse and they go, how would you like that steak cooked? Well, just whack its nasty old butt, throw it on, take the horns off and throw it on the plate for me. I mean, that's basically it, right? So we say all that to say enjoy a great steak, however you want to enjoy it. No judgment from us. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. We had somebody tweet us a picture of a filet today. That was just, I mean, let me retweet that. That thing is fantastic.
That was all kink.
Do you know kink?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's not a real person, but
well, if that's his steak, he makes a mean looking steak because that thing is beautiful.
Good old kink.
I think it's perfect. Anyway, speaking of perfect, you can have a perfectly good time every time at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. That's the place to find smoked Southern soul food, the smoked wings, the barbecue, pulled pork grilled cheese, the prime rib sandwich, the pork rind nachos. That wasn't very good, Brian Johnson, but it'll be all right.
I was talking to Cody Kennedy the other day at
camp. Our guy.
He was wearing a sweatshirt, like hoodie.
Yeah.
And it was 100 degrees outside, and I was like, Cody, you look like you're dying. Like, his sweat was already coming through the sweatshirt.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I'm getting married in a few months. I've got a tux. I've already been fitted for my tux. I cannot gain another inch. So he's like, I'm trying to do everything I possibly can, sweat it out. He said, Cody, because when this is done, I'm going to house some wings.
Cody.
At Two Brothers.
You've already won the race. Take off the uniform. Let it out, brother.
Go get
refitted for a tuxedo.
Wear a tuxedo t-shirt. She won't mind.
That means that, you know, you're serious, but you're here to party.
But he was like, he said, right. When this gets, he said, I'm trying to sweat it all out so I can have my, he wants to eat the wings at Two Brothers.
When is the wedding?
I think he said maybe a couple months.
We need to get
it can't be a couple months.
It's got to be like right before, it's got to be right before training again. It's got to be like late July, right?
It might be like a couple weeks. I don't know.
All right, we need to get him over to we can invite him to a cookout after he gets married and be like, all right, come on now.
Hey, you know he'll be down with that. I promise you.
We'll make it happen. But and we could also tell him, hey, anytime you want to go eat some wings at Two Brothers, we are down for that.
We'll put him out of business, brother.
Yeah. Or if he wants to have something a little more sophisticated, we can head across the street there to the older brother and get us a croque monsieur.
You just love saying that.
I do love saying croque monsieur. You know who? You know who
Peyton Chatagnier.
You know who would love a croque monsieur? It's Peyton Chatagnier.
That place is so classy, man. I like
it. Is
I was talking to Becky about this yesterday because she was asking me what it's like inside. I was like, the only way that I can describe it is I went into a coffee shop in New Orleans.
Yeah. Classy sandwiches is not something you'd expect, but it is. It's what it is.
No,
it's
like
sandwiches.
It literally looks like a restaurant I went to in New Orleans that served po' boys.
If you put the older brother in the French Quarter or in the Garden District, it would fit right in.
Wouldn't bat an eye. So. And the food, too.
Food's good.
Becky, like I said, Becky is a muffaletta connoisseur. And she said it's probably the best that she's had.
There you go. All right.
So y'all got to go check it out.
We don't have enough time to do these other two ad reads, I guess. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right.
We did spend a lot there on those two, though. But let's talk about our friends over at Advantage Business Systems. Great products, great service. That's what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. 49 years worth of experience. When you need technology for your business, give them a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, if you need new computers or laptops, whatever it is. And then if something goes wrong and you need service, it's the same phone number you called to make the sale. That's a big difference for me. I don't want to call a 1-800 number. I don't want to be on hold for 45 minutes. I don't want to hear how valuable my business is to someone when it isn't at all. I want to talk to somebody on the phone, and I want to get somebody I know on the phone. I can do that with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you head to the game this fall, you need to head to Maroon & Co. If you are in Starkville and you need Mississippi State gear, Maroon & Co. is the only place to go. They've got you taken care of. They've got great stuff that you cannot find anywhere else. They've got all the logos that you want. They've got the Bulldog Initiative line, which nobody else has. They've got custom cowbells by the Bellsmith. And, of course, whatever it is you're looking for, it doesn't just have to be clothes. If it's for the house, for your tailgate, for your car, everything is right there in one spot. Before you go to the game this fall at Davis-Wade Stadium, you need to go to Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie.
One more thing on Maroon & Company. The cool thing about them is the Mossy Oak, like the Bottomlands, like pattern they have is, it seems like it's starting to take off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They use that on like most of their stuff in there. Like you can get the Mossy Oak Bottomlands with, state script or whatever on a lot of different shirts in there. So if you're a hunter or you just like the camouflage look, they got that in there too. That's the cool thing about Maroon & Company is they really do have like the best of everything in there. So if you're in town this summer, go check them out.
Cool. All right, SEC preview time, Robbie. We're on to Georgia. Here's the thing about this schedule, Robbie. It's actually pretty tough, but they're just such a talented team that they're probably going to cruise through it. I mean, They start the year off with Clemson in a neutral site game. It's neutral site. It's in Atlanta. But, I mean, Atlanta isn't that much further from Clemson than it is from Athens. Tennessee Tech at Kentucky. And that can be a tricky game. Kentucky's not a terrible team. Week off, and then you're at Alabama. So I think we'll say 3-0 for sure before that Alabama trip. What do you think about that trip to Tuscaloosa? I got the Bulldogs winning.
Yeah, it's going to be that's going to be a fun one, I think. Mm. I'm still kind of I know you're not as high on Alabama under Kalen DeBoer, but I still think they're going to be a good team.
I had Alabama 10-2. Don't.
Well, I haven't heard your – but you didn't have them competing for national championship.
I think – well, not at 10-2, no. I don't think that they'll be in the top five, no.
Well, I think they'll be on the verge.
Well, you had them 10-2, too. I just like to point that out.
Okay. Well, and one of their losses, I think, is probably going to be against Georgia, yeah. So who's got a very good chance of winning the national championship.
To go back to Alabama, one of the people we talked to on Friday at the Delta Soul Golf Tournament was Corey Miller, former – NFL player, played at South Carolina. His son, Christian Miller, played at Alabama. They host a radio show in Tuscaloosa now on Tide 100.9. So Richard asked, like, what do you think about Alabama? And he said, I got him 8-4. And I was just like, oh!
Yikes.
I was like...
That's like a fireball offense. But their fan base will be rated...
For who? For DeBoer or for Corey Miller going on Tide 100.9 saying 8-4?
That's true.
That's tough.
If that does come to fruition, I'm serious. Like they might actually fire him.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So 4-0. Deep South Oldest Rivalry the next week. Play Auburn, then Mississippi State at home. So we'll have them 6-0. Headed to Texas. Yeah. This is the
end for me. Well, I don't know. The more I look at Texas, I think it might be. I think they might struggle a little more than people think.
Okay.
I think Georgia wins this game.
Okay. So then you've got Georgia going undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think – the Ole Miss game, I think, has a chance to be a good game. But just being real.
Don't you dare. They beat them by 35 last year. Don't you dare.
I know, but it's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is better this year. I think it'll be a competitive game.
Sure.
Are we supposed to give our true thoughts here or not?
I understand. So I have Georgia losing this one. I'm not on this Texas might struggle bandwagon. I think they're going to be.
I know you have them competing for a national championship.
I certainly do. Georgia, bye week after. By the way, look at their bye week. Talk about perfect, right? Bye week before you play Alabama and then after you play Texas. So you get ready and then you get healthy for the stretch run. That's great bye week placement. The conference really did them well. Florida at Ole Miss, as Robbie mentioned. State is off that day, right? Yes. No? No, they're on the road. They're at Tennessee that day. I was about to say, it's like, I might just swing up to Oxford and see if I can't, you know, convince somebody that – let me in there to Skybox. Tennessee, I mean, this is kind of funny for me, Robbie. I mean, Georgia has on paper a very tough schedule, but because they're Georgia, it's not as tough, right? But Clemson at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss, and Tennessee, that's tough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you talk about this team is going to be battle-proven by the time we get to the end. They finish with UMass, and, of course, their finale, clean, old-fashioned hate against Georgia Tech. That is a primetime ABC game on Friday, Black Friday. Mississippi State's the opening act with the Egg Bowl and then Georgia Tech that night, which I like. I always feel like Georgia Tech gets like caught up in the rivalry. It's always in the afternoon, the morning game when I'm trying to watch Ohio State, Michigan.
Well, and it never really seems like it's competitive. I mean,
well, it hasn't recently because Georgia's been so good. I mean, it used to be a pretty good game, but
Georgia's won 6 straight.
Yeah. So I say 11-1. You're saying 12-0.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
Georgia Tech beat them in 2016.
Yeah. Yeah. Kirby's first year. Yeah. All right. So next week we'll have a little bit more debate because it's Kentucky. That'll be fun. That'll be a little bit more fun to talk about. All right, guys. Have a great I have a question for you. We need to discuss this right now. I had a thought.
Yes.
Tomorrow, the SEC, on Tuesday, the SEC is supposed to release all of the windows that the games are going to be in tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Do we skip the rumblings and sort of focus the show on that?
No.
Do the rumblings?
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just be a day late talking about that kind of stuff.
I think everybody's going to already know about it before they even listen to our podcast.
True. Well, I mean, that's true about everything, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, sometimes maybe not.
Very rarely are we breaking news here.
Yeah.
So,
I am excited about that though, because we have a pretty good idea of when all of state's ball games are.
Absolutely, we will. That's something that's to me is exciting. Also, tomorrow I'm supposed to talk to John Talty from 24/7 Sports. I've talked to John about recruiting on this podcast. I've talked to John about Alabama on this podcast. Now I can just talk about college football because that's what he's doing now. He's now one of the national college football reporters for 24/7 Sports. Also, later this week, I've got him locked in, Josh Pate. I'm on a 24/7 kick, Robbie. I'm sorry. But late kick with Josh Pate. He will join us on Friday. He will talk to me on Friday. So that'll be up Friday afternoon for you guys to take you through the weekend to talk some college football with Josh Pate as we continue the talking football series, as we're calling it. Just getting guys on and talking football. I can't make it any easier than that. I think it's fun. So do that. But the rumblings is tomorrow. Robbie, you know what to do. Send off the tweet, and we'll get your questions in and answer them on tomorrow's pod.
Oh,
for Robbie
Falk,
I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk.
Your ass better call somebody!
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.